Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, we're going to start off talking about the precious metals because we just entered May and boy oh boy, the metals are getting sold off again. Precious metals are especially with gold down about $43 on the futures market. That's a little over 2.25%. Silver was down a lot more earlier, but it is still down 44 cents. Almost 2%. Earlier on today, it did drop below that 22.25 level, but then garnered a bit of a buy. The gold stocks, silver stocks, they are also down. Ed, what's your takeaway from what seems like some pretty serious weakness that has come into the precious metals sector about 2 to 3 weeks ago?
It's fascinating to see the move we've seen in the U.S. dollar, and a lot of that is you're having Wall Street is really just ramping up their Fed rate hiking bets. It seems like an aggressive call for tightening was 250 basis points over the next year, and now it's you're really seeing there's a debate that we could have some 75 basis point increases over the next couple meetings, and that you really have the Fed that is now just going to be completely fixated with inflation and trying to bring it down. And you have treasury yields that are skyrocketing. I mean, the 10-year just knocking on 3%. It really has helped the dollar extend its rally, which has been kryptonite for commodities. And right now, the gold markets, sometimes we'll talk about gold, being a nice safe haven trade and attracting some good flows, but right now you're really seeing this has just been a bad environment for commodities. I think that there's you can make the argument that there's some weakness approaching U.S. markets. China has been obviously battling their COVID situation. So on the demand side, jewelry demand's been pretty weak for gold. On just your traditional safe haven flows, gold's not been doing too well. I really think it's been more of a move that's gone into the dollar, and overall the market just doesn't know exactly how much more momentum selling we could have with gold. I think that once gold broke below 1900, that just said a lot of technical traders said, well, that means 1850 is probably in the cards, and if you're talking 1850, then a lot of people are looking at some major technical support possibly at 1834. So it looks like a falling knife for a lot of traders, and there's a lot of skepticism to just buy it right now. So it's been a tough time for gold, but I think once the market's beyond Fed meeting or possibly the next one, then you'll start to see gold look a little bit more attractive. But this has been a tough time for gold.
Yeah, and it's interesting with the rising interest rates and the strong dollar up about 103.50. It's pressuring the commodities and in particular the precious metals. But at this point, do you think most of the war premium is also out of the commodity sector and also the precious metals? Because for a while, that's all we were hearing is that they were getting a premium because of Ukraine. But it seems like most of that premium is gone now and everything's based on monetary policy. Do you think everything's kind of baked in at this point where we've seen the higher rates, we've seen the stronger dollar, we've lost the war premium? Or do you think there's a lot more downside to go just because of that technical selling?
I think right now it's all about the Fed, and there could be further downside just because I think rate hikes have been mostly priced in. It's the balance sheet reduction that's a big question mark. I think they could announce a cap of 50 to 70 billion a month, and that's where you're going to see investors become a little bit more nervous here about how aggressive are they going to be with that. That's going to be the true I think deciding factor whether or not we have a much stronger dollar rally here.
Okay, Ed, so all focus back on the Fed. It definitely seems like that. And to Shad's point, it seems like these war premiums, for the most part, have been faded, especially now considering gold is below where it was when the war started. That being said, look, the Fed seems like they're going to come out with a 50 basis point hike, although some rumors have it that it might be a 75 basis point hike. To me, that seems a bit too much, but do you think a 75 basis point hike is on the table for this meeting, or is it simply the 50 basis point hike and then we look at what comes next from the Fed in terms of their guidance?
I think the Fed's in a position where they have to discuss 75. I think that they're most likely to settle on 50 and deliver that half point increase. And the key debate is whether or not they go with the balance sheet reduction announcement, whether they go 40 billion on treasuries and 25 billion on mortgage-backed securities. If they kind of surprise markets and go more like 30 billion on treasuries and only 10 on mortgage-backed, that would be viewed as extremely dovish. And I think the market is not ready to price in Fed dovishness. So you could see a major reaction there, because right now it's all been about investors, you know, pricing in more Fed tightening. So there is a chance that you could get a little dovish surprise here. So I think traders are going to become more optimistic that, you know, eventually once the Fed's delivered a couple of big rate hikes, that they can focus more, not just on inflation, they might focus a little bit on growth. But I think right now the Fed's on cruise control. They have to deliver 50, possibly 75 the next meeting. I think another large rate hike could be on the table, even for July. So this is, I think, a market that is getting very jittery, because, you know, we have 3 months in a row where you could have some really large rate hikes. And for the Fed, that is something that is because they've been late to fight inflation. And, you know, this is kind of the taper tantrum that we were, you know, supposed to have. It just took a lot longer.
Well, Ed, what do you think this all means for the general markets? Because we're still seeing those be rather muted as well. You know, we're seeing, you know, over the last month or two, they're not a bastion of strength. So it seems to be selling across the board. Do you think that it's mostly priced in that sense? And if the Fed does do the 50 basis point hike, or God help us, if they do the 75 basis point hike, what do you think would happen to the general markets in that kind of an environment?
Well, the general markets have been getting crush just because you know, in addition to Fed tightening, you've had weakness in China, you've had that likely to really weigh on supply chain issues. And I think that markets are very nervous here that if the supply chain situation really does not improve over these next couple months, you're looking at a really rough second quarter and possibly third. And I think the overall market is just too jittery right now. And this is a difficult environment because, you know, you've seen tech get crushed. The NASDAQ's down, you know, over 20% year to date. You know, S&P is down like 13.5%. And there's been a lot of lost confidence in some of the key trades. You know, the FANG stocks were the go-to trade for a lot of investors, and that is no longer the case. We saw Netflix completely, annihilated. And Amazon is, you know, one of the stocks that's more sensitive to inflation. This is just a difficult environment because you're starting to see even weakness for some of the go-to trades. I mean, the outlook for Apple was kind of concerning, given, you know, the supply chain issues could really weigh on their you know, performance over the next quarter. And overall, you know, traders, they're anticipating that, you know, there could be some further selling pressure here, and that's why you're having a lot of traders become very bearish. I think overall the economy, though, is still on sound footing. It's just, you know, I think there's this big concern that, you know, the recession risk is growing, it's looming, but I still think, you know, overall, once we get past these couple rate hikes and we start to see supply chain issues get resolved, or hope that they will be, the economy should still outperform. I think, you know, the risk of a recession this year, very, very low. Next year, it's growing. 2024, you'll probably have one. But that should prove to be supportive for stocks. But right now, this is there's not a lot of strong conviction to buy right now. And people are just waiting to see, you know, does the S&P 500 fall below 4,000? And if so, you know, how much further? And I think, you know, you're going to see a lot more traders become very technical over these next couple months.
Which, Ed, if you look at the technicals here, some of the simplest things to look at, too, being the S&P closed last week at a 52-week low. The NASDAQ is now below any trading levels in 2021. There has been a lot of selling pressure here, and it doesn't look to be subsiding. Some of the selling pressure has come on fairly high volume as well. So as much as we want to look around at some other factors here, we need to face the facts that markets are broadly under pressure. Investors are pulling money out of the markets, and we haven't seen it done this quickly since, I guess, the COVID crash, but this has already gone on longer than the COVID crash.
Very much so. And I think right now, overall you're seeing there has been a couple big de-risking moments over the past, couple of months. And I think the investor needs to focus on, given what's happening with inflation and given, how much more aggressive the Fed will be, where else are you going to put your money? And I think that there is still this belief that you're going to have a lot of more, I think, flows going to equities than you will commodities. I think that you're still going to see that the growth outlook is still much better for the U.S. And that's why you're probably going to have, I think, a lot of traders become very skeptical global growth, the European slowdown is likely to remain in place. I think that the war in Ukraine is not going to have an immediate resolution, and that's really weighing on sentiment. So if you're a trader right now, you have to decide where are you going to dare touch what's happening in the bond market, or are you going to have a more buy and hold mentality and bet on the U.S. economy and anticipate that this bloodbath for tech eventually will start to find some support. I think that even if those recession fears do move forward from 2024 into 2023. Eventually, that's going to be good news for tech. So, I think you're probably going to see that traders are going to become very concerned here. But I think in the end, you have to realize that a lot of money on Wall Street has to go somewhere, and I think the outlook is still looking ideal for equities.
Yeah, and I guess the U.S. is still the cleanest shirt and the dirty laundry hamper, so it's still getting some bid from global citizens because the euro and a lot of Asia is in the hurt locker. But one sector that is still doing well, Ed, is the energy sector, and it's benefiting from inflation. It's probably getting a little tailwind still from the war in Ukraine, but oil had gone down into the mid-90s a week or two ago, and now it's back up at 105. So I guess that's one place that traders are gravitating into in this kind of an environment. What do you make of the oil market? Has it got more room to run here?
I think right now the oil market's pretty fascinating because you've had for the longest time everyone was just focused on the oil market remaining very tight. You've had demand improving in the U.S. and then China started to have their COVID restrictions, and then you saw a lot more concern that you could have demand destruction, crude demand destruction. And now what's happening is the U.S. is actually showing some signs of weakness. Gasoline demand has been much lower right now than any time except for 2020, in the last 5 years. So there's some hints of weakness here in the U.S. U.S. production is picking up. The China COVID situation is just it's a big question mark. There's some signs to become that people might become a little bit more optimistic. But that's really kind of kept things capped here on some of the recent rebounds that we've had. And I think the market has been trying to digest what are the chances you're going to have the EU follow through on a proposed ban on Russian energy. And, Hungary kind of voiced their concern that, they're going to veto it. They can't function without Russian supplies. And, at first there was this belief that Germany was going to veto. And then last week they said they would go forward. They just needed to figure out a plan on how that they could phase it in. But now, you're probably going to see much more weakness here. I think that the market is very nervous that if the EU were to follow through with that, and I think that's the least likely scenario. I think maybe they'll phase it out, but I think a Russian embargo on energy is not likely to happen immediately. And right now I think the oil market is probably going to consolidate around this $100 a barrel level. I don't think that we have the catalysts right now to really to send it back above 120 or so. I think that we're really going to remain in a choppy environment. And if we start to see the COVID situation improve in China, then yes, I think then oil markets can then really resume to rally. But yeah, there's a lot of debate on when the oil market is how tight is it really? And I think that the demand outlook has been really, written in pencil for most traders. And this is why you're probably going to see oil really struggle here for I think a strong trend. I think it's really going to remain very range bound. But I think there is still good reason to believe that those key support levels will hold up. And right now, I think, 95 to 110 is probably where we should see it consolidate over the next couple of weeks.
So, Ed, no matter what sector we seem to talk about here, I'm hearing a lot of potential short-term weakness, potentially even breakdowns if near-term support levels do not hold. Is this just the environment that we need to understand? Is that, look, the markets are weak. There is no free money being created out of the U.S. I know some people would debate that, but compared to where we were and what the Fed is doing with their tightening process, that means that nothing is a winner? Or can you find a winning sector out there? Because as I said, right now, I'm hearing just a whole lot of near-term weakness predictions.
I think when you take a look at equities right now, that is probably still going to be your preferred spot. And given the weakness we've seen with the FANG stocks, I think that you're still probably going to have a lot of institutional money focus on the Apples, the Alphabets, Microsoft. They're going to probably shun Netflix and Facebook. You're not going to see much love for Cathie Wood's ARK fund. But you're still, I think, in an environment where there's still good reason to be optimistic for, let's say, the energy sector. I think the energy sector, I mean, these oil companies are going to be delivering they're going to have tremendous margins over these next few years. I mean, there's I think overall this consensus that oil should average around $80 over the next few years. And if that's the case and their break evens are $40, you could still expect more buybacks, more dividends from these oil companies. And they're not rushing to build up their expenses. We're still going to be vulnerable to some shocks over the next few years. So I think the oil space is, energy companies are still very, very attractive. With respect to the economy, I think that you're probably going to see a lot more defensive posturing. So your typical consumer plays will probably hold out well, and I think that you're overall the housing market's peaked. You're probably going to see that remain weak. So I mean, we're starting to see that certain sectors just don't look attractive right now. So I think, you have to be cautious about those and, buy them on heavy discounts. But this is not the trading environment we've had. I think everyone got used to the stimulus trade where you just buy every dip, but now you're going to see valuations matter. And I think companies are going to become very optimistic here once we get through, I think the summer, there is still this belief that a lot of these pricing pressures should improve. So that's going to be the key story, I think. And I think a lot of traders they're going to it's too volatile for a lot of the new ones that got started during the pandemic. But I think that you're going to see that, you know, we have a lot of variables that will really shock markets. And I think that traders are going to become very hesitant here because there's, you know, the war situation is a big risk. And I think that we have to see China, you know, really win and kind of resume some normalcy in supply chains, which it's been really hard to gauge how that's affecting the U.S. I think we've gotten like the ISM manufacturing data. It doesn't really do a good job of letting us know how the West part of the country is doing. But I think there's, you know, if we're talking about another couple months of just PPI reports that are just too hot, that could really, I think, kill sentiment. So I think, you know, we're still data dependent on these inflation readings. And a lot of that will depend on variables outside of the Fed's power. So it's going to remain volatile. But I think this is an area where you have a lot of heavy discounts and things are starting to look attractive again.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up here. And things don't seem to look attractive for a lot of the investors right now as we do continue to get this selling pressure, but it has been pretty relentless. And yeah, you got to think investors will put their money somewhere rather than continuing to run for the door. But we'll see just how much more downside there is in a wide range of sectors. And right now, it doesn't seem like risk on or risk off is winning. So that is the real head scratcher, at least right now, but also kind of ties into, well, what's coming down the road for Fed rate hikes. We'll see just what the Fed tells us this week. Ed, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.